All right.
Blog Talk Radio.
We're live. Blog Talk Radio. We got the phone lines up. So, I have a showrunner question, and I want to ask y'all this. Let me get this banner up off of here, man. I always had that ticker tape going under there. I think that stopped me from getting a lot of copyright violations, but, you know, we're knock on wood.
Yeah, let's not.
Let's knock on wood. Let's go there. Let's go there tonight. Let's go there tonight. Yeah, let's do that. Should children be forced to take the HPV vaccination?
They should not. It should be offered, but I don't think they
I'm just asking. I mean, human papillomavirus is like pretty deadly. It's not deadly, but it can lead to, you know, other deadly diseases like cancer.
But 90% of the population has already had it and don't even know it, because most people with a healthy immune system, their body will clear it, and you never know you even had it.
Okay. Well, I'll say this. Since that's what they show.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Certain strands of the virus are more deadly than linked to cancer, like HPV-16. Certain strands of the virus are more deadly, but lots of the population has been exposed and don't even know it.
But what about the children coming along? That's how we eradicate HPV.
That is, but I mean.
So let's mandate that all children get the HPV vax because they little perverts in training. So when you get freaky, you're not going
to. Like that's why they say you can't abort a baby once there's a heartbeat in some states, because that person is their own person. So shouldn't they wait until they're a certain age, like maybe 15 or 14, to make a decision?
I think that they should do it before they start having sex.
Yes. Yeah.
And the only way to get that is early. The earlier the better.
They should be exposed to the choice. You know, they should talk. They should teach it in sexual education class. When do you get sex ed? When do you take that health? Is it the fourth grade?
I don't know. I don't think I ever took it. I don't think I took
it. You had to take it. They probably put it in with your health, the regular health class.
I used to watch sex ed every. Sex ed came on every Friday night after 10 p.m. on Cinemax when they.
That's how you learned about
that. That was why I learned about the birds and the bees.
Shame on it all.
Hey, Cinemax and Showtime. My teacher's name was Emmanuel. I don't know. See, that's the old school shit for y'all. Old school stuff.
I don't know Emmanuel.
That's old school right there. So, when we were talking about Shaq and what he said, let me get to the studio here as well.
That's a very good question, though. That showrunner, you snuck that in on me, Mike.
Yeah, I'm just asking. Since we care so much about public health, make them little nasty motherfuckers get vaccinated before they get nasty, before they get too nasty.
Because they do get nasty at very young ages nowadays.
Absolutely. You know my motto.
Now come on in the house and say bye to Charlene and the kids.
Fuck them kids.
Fuck the kid?
Yeah.
I had to do it all over again, man. I'm sorry, man. Y'all forgive me, man. I'm wilding over here. I love that one. Yo, we got 903 on the line. Yo, 903,
yo,
you
up,
on the big mic, bro.
What's up, man?
Man, what's Deuce up, man? It's Deuce Almighty.
Yes, sir.
Deuce, what's happening? Hey, we had to come with the courageous discussion tonight, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, I see. I'm here on dad's duty, but I thought I'd try to get a little chime in right quick. And here
okay.
You go. I think we're trying to backtrack a little bit on the Smith thing. And let's be honest, you know, he's there to just try to get a shock reaction, you know, as best as they can on a Disney network. He wants to say, but that prime example. On the 11th, he was saying Don Gruden's racist remarks, he shouldn't get fired. And then on the 12th, when it was a homophobic slur and talking about the LGBTQ, and Gruden resigned, Stephen A. Smith was like, oh, he's done. His career is over. So in one day,
right.
He changed his entire position about what's supposed to happen to that guy. But that proves
right.
The point that Dave Chappelle was saying. As far as Kyrie, with the, I think, like I said, man, the main point that people aren't really tapping into isn't about the C-19 jab itself, but about the fact that our government is forcing people to do something and in what we consider the free country of the world.
Right.
You call something a free country, and then you tell people they are mandated to do this type of thing. Then what freeness is it in this country? I wish that, Kyrie had made mention about that, because I talked to somebody about that, and it was one of these flag-saluting, conservative people. And I said, dude, you got an American flag in your picture, and yet you're not respecting the fact that we're supposed to have the right to defend ourselves against tyranny, foreign and domestic. That is the
right.
Second Amendment. So when you talking to somebody and telling them what they should do, and then it's like, well, you can just get another job. I said, well, last year, you had all these nurses and doctors who was getting called in from retirement even to go and help people, try to keep them alive. Last year, they were all heroes, and now this year, you're telling me that they're scum because they don't want to take a vaccine to do the exact same thing they were doing fine for a year.
Right.
And I think that's very hypocritical of people to make those type of conversations. So now they're gonna look at it and say, well, you have to do this because you want to help other people. Well, if the jab worked the way it was supposed to, those other people don't need my help. They shouldn't be worried about it, right? But yet the people
right.
who are most worried about it are the ones getting the shots. How many shots are you going
to
get? Now they say
that's
you got
strange
two with the booster shot.
That's what's strange to me, though, Duke, about the whole thing is because I'm actually hearing the narrative, and like I said before, I am vaccinated. And I'm
right.
hearing the narrative that I should be afraid of people who are unvaccinated, when really it should be the other way around. It doesn't make logical sense to me. I'm vaccinated. Why should I be afraid of someone who's unvaccinated? That's the craziest.
Exactly.
That's the craziest thing about it. This whole thing is about
exactly.
promoting
it's
the
whole point.
It's about
exactly.
promoting
and
fear, and that's the easiest way since 9/11. It's all been about fear. That's why I maintain that in 9/11 that the terrorists won, because it's been terror ever since in this country, from one thing to another.
Right, right, right.
They shook our security. They shook our sense of security, and it's been scary ever since then.
Well, as Benjamin Franklin said, when you give a society, when you allow society a little more safety to take over their freedom, they're going to lose both and deserve neither. So as we continue
right.
to sit around and say, the fear mongering and be scared of everything, guess what we're losing? We're losing our own freedom. And now we see
right.
what's happening. We don't have the same freedom that we had just a year ago or 2 years ago. And this was some of the things that people were saying about the shutdowns. And now, hindsight being 2020, we went through a lot of the problems. And guess what people did? I'm not saying, good or bad, but it was what it was. People resorted to hoping that the government would come and help them. And
absolutely.
When you are in that position, instead of when you could have easily said, we need to, if you feel like you're scared, then stay in the house. That was an option afforded to everybody, But if you didn't, my problem was this. You're telling me I can't go to buy a new shirt at the, at the store, whatever store I go buy clothes at, but somehow it was okay for me to go into the most crowded Costco in the world so I could stand in line with all them people just because you're thinking that, oh, well, if I'm out at a bar at night, I'm going to be, hit with the C-19. But me standing in Colton and Costco all day trying to get in and out that store, there's a million people walking up around each other in the aisles and stuff, that's supposed to be my safety net. It makes no sense.
Right.
And I got,
right.
the whole thing has just been a big fiasco, to say the least.
Uh-oh, what's that? All right, I hear you now. Sorry about that, man.
Oh.
Nah, sorry about that. It was some kind of loud noise going on in my earphones, so I'm like, what the hell is that? But, no, I definitely feel you. I understand where you're coming from. I got a question for you. should children be forced to take the HPV vax?
Just doing it. I think I'm a defer to those who because your panel mate is a nurse. Is that do I get that correct?
Yes.
I am.
So I would defer to everybody have an option. That's always my biggest thing. Everybody should have the option to do this or that, and then they should be able to investigate and see what they feel is most necessary. And like you said, a lot of it comes with having, you know, prior education. For me, I took sex ed the first time when I was like in third grade, and it wasn't until I taught in college that I found out that that wasn't normal, that a lot of the students don't get taught any type of sex ed in the public school system. And that was bizarre to me. I was like, are you serious? So it makes sense that we don't be knowing about teen pregnancies and STDs. Okay, let's go. So it's really weird to hear that they didn't know about STDs and stuff. So I can't really speak to say, yeah, they should force everybody to do this or that. We should always be allowed to have the option and make a decision that way.
Well, I appreciate you, man. I appreciate that call.
Yes, sir.
And you always have insight, man, that you know, to share with the crowd, man. So I appreciate your participation as well. Also, hey, dude.
Yeah, and I sent you that email.
Yeah, I got the email. I've been out of town, man. My sister-in-law got married. So I'm still getting caught back up on everything, man. So... Yeah, but I got the email, Asher. So, and I actually follow you on Instagram as well.
Okay,
so
okay,
we
nice.
Definitely still got to link up. Yeah.
Yeah, just holler at me. Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, most definitely, man. I appreciate you for calling in, brother.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm off the phone.
Vaccine.
All right. You recommend the HPV vaccine?
I recommend it, but I think it should be a choice.
Okay. So, man, I appreciate having Brother Deuce in here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Always dropping knowledge. I'm gonna do one more because I think this is important. It kind of plays off of what Shaq was talking about, or what Shaq was laughing about. And that was about, you know, hey, you want to take the vaccine, you want to go to work, you got to make money, you got to, you know, let's just say we're not talking about a $15 million house. Let's say we're talking about a $55,000 house and you only make $40,000 a year. Let's talk about, let's scale it down to that economic bracket. And then see if you're going to be.
Yeah.
You ain't going to be doing all that when you start talking about $45,000 a year, $55,000 house, you know, two or three kids, you know, these type of situations that people are being forced into. But it's been something that's going on, and these numbers just came out. It's a little delayed. But August, over 4 million, almost 4 million people quit their job. It's called the Great Resign, the Great Resignation.
Resignation, yeah.
The Great Resignation. I'm going to put on a little news story about that. This is on CBS News. Millions of people, workers are quitting their jobs. And let's just find out. Let's just dig into this, okay? So this next video, I'm going to share, and I'm going to take a quick break while this runs. For a minute, I got to go do something. Sailor Jerry getting low over here. But I'm going to go ahead and share this video, man. We're going to chop it up and talk about it. And let me get my damn banner going back again. Gotta make sure we do that. This is for fair use. Let's go.
In Money Watch, businesses across the country are experiencing operational chaos as new data shows a record number of people quitting their jobs. According to the Labor Department, 4.3 million people quit their jobs in the month of August. The industries hit the hardest include food service, retail, and healthcare. With more on this, Amy Peachy joins us now to talk about this. So, Amy, good to see you. Help us make sense of what's happening, why people are quitting their jobs in such historic numbers.
Yeah, it was really remarkable. This data was from August, so it's a little bit delayed. But what we saw was 3% of all workers quit their jobs in August. And by comparison, normally this rate is about between 1% to 2%. So that's a huge increase. And you've probably heard the term the Great Resignation, and that's what we're seeing right now. You know, there are a couple of things that were happening in August that economists say really sparked this Great Resignation. Number one is you have the Delta variant really going into full swing across the U.S. in August, and that made an impact on workers. We started to see in census data around the same time that more workers were saying they weren't working because they were worried about getting COVID. And it's interesting, if you look at the data, that, as you mentioned, Vlad, a lot of these people who quit were in food service. They worked on the front lines. They are worried about getting COVID, especially the Delta variant. So economists say that is one of the main reasons why we saw that sharp uptick in people deciding to leave their jobs. The other reason is childcare and school. You know, a lot of schools were going back into service in August, and we saw a lot of quarantines. We saw a lot of outbreaks, and that makes it really hard for parents, especially moms with children, to go to work. You know, if they can't plan on regular childcare, regular school, it just makes it a lot more difficult to stay in the workforce. So that's the second reason why a lot of economists say August saw 4.3 million people quitting their jobs.
The professor that coined that phrase, the Great Resignation, is a professor from Texas A&M. He also talked about burnout, and you sort of touched on that when it came to childcare, the burnout of working at home, but also the burnout if you have to work through this pandemic. Which brings me to the industries most impacted. We talked about, you know, the hospitality industry, but also healthcare. And I would imagine we're seeing an uptick in people quitting who have been on the front lines in medical care for the last 19 months, and they are just sort of have come to the end of their rope.
Yeah, we're definitely seeing this. We're hearing it at Money Watch. We talk with workers who are experiencing a lot of stress on the job. It's become a very stressful time for workers who deal with other people, retail, restaurants, healthcare, because of things like mask mandates and people who are angry about those things. And so workers are having to deal with situations that they didn't have to deal with before the pandemic, and that is leading to burnout. You're also seeing some people saying, you know what, I'm working at a restaurant making $10 an hour. I can get a job at a warehouse making $15, $20 an hour, where I don't really have to deal with people. You know, I'm not dealing with frustrations, complaints, and that is proving to be appealing to some workers. So,
all right, Ronnie, as a nurse, somebody who was in the middle of the fight, do you agree about the burnout?
It's a lot of burnout, yes.
Yes. What about the mandates? Do you think that played a part in driving people away from the business as well?
I do, because a lot of people didn't really want the vaccine. They were forced to get the vaccine. And I still have friends right now who are not working because they didn't want it.
Right. I think my buddy Sean called in and said they were trying to force them to take it down at the shipyard. And he made the comment that he feels unclean or some of that nature because people are, like, segregating and making people feel a certain way. So let's talk about this rejection. This is equal protection under the law type of. This is for, like, the same thing, equal protection under the law. Now, why can some people be impervious to rejection or criticism for their lifestyle and their life choices, but other people are open to it?
And let me just say, in 10 years, I may be an advocate. I may be telling everybody to get the vaccine. People are misinformed. A lot of us in healthcare was skeptical because we know most vaccines go through a long process. We felt the vaccine was very rushed. That's why most of us were really concerned about getting it.
Right. I mean, look, like I said before, I know I'm part of a trial. I know this is a trial.
Right now we all are part of a trial. The COVID vaccine is a trial. We were all getting it before it was even FDA approved. So we are all right now a part of a trial.
Right. And if I'm not mistaken, I think they're still only approved for emergency use. I think one of them was already approved. But
Pfizer
I think,
is the one, I think.
Yeah, but I think the rest of them are just approved for emergency use only.
So that means everybody that got those vaccines, which I'm one, I got Moderna. I think Pfizer is the one that's approved, that's FDA approved.
Right.
But that means we're all a part of a trial, if you really want to be logical about it.
Let's be logical about it and just, you know, here I am. It's like, look, I'm doing my part to save humanity in the future. You know, it just is what it is on my part. But I do understand people who don't want to be mandated to get it. I wasn't mandated to get it. So I can only imagine how I would feel if somebody did make me get it, especially to come to a funky-ass job.
Not that I'm invincible, but at first I was like, in the heart of COVID, I actually worked on a COVID unit at my per diem job. Everybody on the unit was COVID because we were a place that was designated to bring overflow from the hospital of COVID patients.
Right.
And I went the whole time without a vaccine. I didn't get COVID.
Right.
Sometimes I didn't even have on a mask.
Right.
Not that I'm proud of that because I know I should have, but sometimes they were telling us to wear the same mask. We didn't have enough PPE at sometimes, and I made it through. So now why are you telling me to come back to work? I got to have a vaccine.
Right.
You didn't care when I was busting my ass with all these sick people that we knew were positive. They weren't under suspicion. They were definitely positive. So why now?
Did you ever think in a million years that New York would get rid of Cuomo before they got rid of COVID?
I love Cuomo. You know how I feel about Cuomo.
I know how you feel about it. That's why I had to do it.
That man is a product of a poor environment. There's absolutely nothing wrong with him. I can prove it.
Of course there's something wrong with him.
He's a Negro.
He's a Negro.
Man. So, getting into the last part of the show, the murky stuff. Why are people so suspicious of taking this vacation?
Conspiracy theory time.
Yes, conspiracy theory time. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about a couple of things, man. A lot of people, especially people of color, you're going to feel what I'm saying. We're going to talk heavy for a few minutes before we get up out of here. We know about Tuskegee. I'm from Alabama. Me and Ronnie are both from Alabama. We know about Tuskegee.
Yes, we do.
But it's other things that have been going on. And y'all can check out those links I have in the description and read what I used as my resources for this. But does anybody know about the depopulation initiatives? If you don't, read NSSM-200. I have the PDF also, the link to the PDF in the description. It's about 123 pages, but you can read the executive summary. And it talks about, and it's almost to the number, it's scary. This was released in 1974. It was declassified in 1989. This is an official White House document. It's also known as the Kissinger Report, part of the Kissinger Report. That talks about,
I'm surprised it was declassified.
Yeah, talks about population growth and depopulation. But there's also a group of conspiracy theorists that have connected the dots to HIV/AIDS, the global HIV/AIDS epidemic, and connections to American medicine, CIA, American vaccines.
It's always us in America. It's always the Americans doing something we have no business. It's us.
I want to read this story from Time Magazine. Now, it's called Conspiracy Theories in Time, but here's the deal. If you read what I got in the description, I'm not going to get into it, but it's called Narrowland.com. It talks about the origin of AIDS and MK Naomi. I mentioned MK Naomi a couple of weeks ago on the show. I mentioned that for y'all to go dig into it and research MK Naomi. But let's talk about Time Magazine and their content and them actually acknowledging that this happened or acknowledging that there's a chance that this happened, which is enough for me as an acknowledgement that it did happen when it's a reputable source. Exactly. So let's talk about it. This is called Conspiracy Theories and it's called Separating Fact from Fiction, the CIA and AIDS. So here, who was this written by? I don't even know who this was written by. Whatever, come sue me. All right, the CIA and AIDS. Since the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention first reported the HIV-AIDS epidemic in 1981, rumors have persisted that the deadly virus was created by the CIA to wipe out homosexuals and African Americans and Africans. Even today, conspiracy theory has a number of high-profile believers. South African President Thabo Mbeki once touted the theory, disputing scientific claims that the virus originated in Africa and accusing the U.S. government of manufacturing the disease in military labs. When she won the Nobel Peace Prize, Kenyan ecologist Wangari Maathai used the international spotlight to support the theory as well. So why would a South African president and a Nobel Peace Prize winner espouse a conspiracy theory? Are they wearing tinfoil hats at night? I think not. So let's keep going. Others insist that the government deliberately injected gay men with the virus during the 1978 hepatitis B experiments in New York, San Francisco, and Los Angeles. Still others point to Richard Nixon, who combined the U.S. Army's Biowarfare Department with the National Cancer Institute in 1971. Though the co-discoverers of HIV, Dr. Robert Gallo of the National Cancer Institute and Dr. Luc Montagnier of the Pasteur Institute in Paris don't agree on its origins, most members of the scientific community believe the virus jumped from monkeys to humans sometime during the 1930s, which sounds ridiculous.
Because we didn't hear about patient zero until when?
Patient zero.
The 1980s?
Right, the 1980s. And he was, I had his name at one point in time. He was like some wild porn star looking flight stewardess dude.
Yeah.
And he was going all over the place. It was like Jean-Paul something. He was from Canada, if I'm not mistaken. But let's talk about this. So in this Narrowland.com, the origin of AIDS, let's just go to the timeline that they have. Let's see what they say here. It is also clear that the experiments conducted under phase 4A of the flow chart are our best route to better therapy and treatment for people living with HIV/AIDS. The first 60 pages of progress report number 8 of the special virus program proved conclusively that the specific goal of the program. By June 1977, the special virus program had produced 15,000 gallons of AIDS. The AIDS virus was attached as a complement to vaccines sent to Africa and Manhattan. However, because of the thoroughness of authors like Dr. Robert E. Lee, we also learned the Stanford Mycoplasma Laboratory issues of the first papers with AIDS in the title, Viral Infections in Men Associated with Acquired Immunological Deficiency States. The primary scientist, Dr. Thomas Merrigan, was a consultant of the Special Virus Program. Progress Report Number 8 at 104 to 106 proves that Dr. Robert Gallo was secretly working on the development of AIDS with the full support of the sector of the U.S. government that seeks to kill its citizens. Dr. Gallo cannot explain why he excluded his role as a project officer for the Special Virus Program from his biographical book. Dr. Gallo's early work and discoveries will finally be viewed in relation to the flowchart. We now know where every experiment fits into the flowchart. So it's somebody that's actively trying to connect the dot on this. But legend has it, theory has it, that HIV/AIDS was spread to Africa, widespread in Africa, through smallpox vaccinations.
And it wouldn't surprise me.
And it was spread in America through hepatitis B vaccinations amongst the gay community, and it started out in Greenwich Village. This is what they call MK Naomi. Look it up. Look it up and make your own decisions. But I will say this. if AIDS started in Africa, HIV/AIDS started in Africa, then why was patient zero a Canadian stewardess? I'm waiting.
And this is why a lot of people are not wanting to have the COVID vaccine.
This is part of the reason. Think
about syphilis, yeah.
Think about even back in with the Native Americans. Think about the indigenous people in Sir Jeffrey Amherst passing out blankets infected with smallpox. The first recorded biological warfare in human history, I might add, happened here. European invention. I kid you not. So when it comes to Europeans and our thoughts on what Europeans do medically, we have our reserves. We reserve. We side-eye the fact of anything that they come with that's supposed to do us good, because really we question the fact of whether they even mean us any good. I feel personally it's unconstitutional to mandate, especially when you can't mandate across the board.
Right.
When you can't mandate across the board, every job isn't saying do this, so it's inconsistent at best.
Very inconsistent.
But I will tell my people this before I get out of here. My last words on this is you need to prepare yourself for a turbulence if you're not vaccinated in the future and you don't have your own business. You need to find your own way of making money. Now, if you want a way of making money, I got ways of making money. You can holler at me. Hit me up. You can email me. I'm going to go and put my email address up here. I got ways to help people make money. You can hit me at the Big Mic Drop at blacksupernovanetwork.com and be like, hey, Big Mike, looking to get in my own business. Big Mike going to talk with you about it. But do prepare yourself for a turbulent future if you're not vaccinated. This is something I feel deep within my heart. I don't know anything, but it's something I feel. And I feel like I need to portray that to y'all. I need to deliver that message to y'all.
Well, they claim that 80% of the United States is vaccinated. I don't know if I believe that that number is that high.
My buddy was telling me
somewhere
that more than 25% of the population is below the age of 12. So how could 80% be vaccinated?
Right, right. That doesn't add up.
You see what I mean?
I think they say that as a way of reassuring people, of making people think, oh, everybody else got it and must be safe. Because I just don't believe 80% of people. I've heard too many people still say that they don't want the vaccine for it to be 80%.
Look,
I could be wrong.
Let's just state the facts. This shit was mismanaged from the beginning because we had a paranoid president who thought that this was a hoax. He was a narcissist and thought that even the act of God was something to do with getting him out of office. So he reacted the wrong way. He didn't protect the people.
He
didn't protect the people. Didn't really protect business. He only tried to protect himself. So this whole thing was mismanaged from the beginning. If we can all acknowledge that fact, that the whole response in the United States of COVID was mismanaged, which is why we have, the highest death rate in the world? Our death rate is higher than lesser developed countries. How do you explain
higher
that?
Higher than where the virus actually started at.
Right. How do you explain that? Because it was mismanaged by the government from the very beginning. I can acknowledge that fact. But should regular, normal people... Kyrie Irving was just an example. Like he said himself, he's an example. And he could probably retire, never work another day in his life, and he's going to be fine. Because that nigga makes some dope-ass shoes, and I'm going to keep buying them shit.
But do you think he's going to give in, Mike?
I would be upset if he did. I would be upset if he did.
I would, too.
I would be upset if he did. That's just my personal opinion.
please don't give in, Kyrie.
That's my personal opinion.
I wish I could afford to do what he's doing. I really do. And just say, F the vaccine.
Well, here's something that my buddy brought up earlier today. If more than 10 people, the 10 people that did kneel in the NFL, if everybody would have kneeled, it would have made a bigger statement. I hope Kyrie doesn't give up. I hope he doesn't allow them to pressure him over money to give up. Those are my final thoughts on it.
And I got one other question I want to ask you. You were mentioning players that are in states that are not mandating the vaccine. What happens when they come to a state like New York to play? The same question poses for Kyrie. If he goes and plays in Texas or somewhere where they're not mandated to have the vaccine, can he play or he's out, period?
Nah. Brooklyn said he's out, period. He can't even play. He can't even practice. He can't play road games, nothing. So I hope this isn't the retirement of Kyrie Irving, but at the same time, I hope it is. Because you've kind of made your stance. You've kind of taken your stand. Anything else is going to be seen as giving up ground at this point in time.
Right. You don't want to be seen as a loser at this point.
Right.
You want to remain a winner.
But in all fairness,
keep up the good work.
It's still his personal choice.
That's right.
It's still his personal choice. Whatever he decides to do is still his personal choice. And that's what I want y'all to remember. It's y'all's personal choice.
Right.
This is your medical history. This is what you put in your body, and you have one body. You know. So, hey, man, I appreciate y'all for joining us tonight. Ronnie, I appreciate you for joining the show tonight.
Of course.
You know, it didn't get too crazy, and I'm glad. It didn't get too crazy. But we will be having more discussions about this because I don't think this is going to be the end of it. And get your little nasty-ass kids vaccinated for HPV so they can stop spreading this
shit. Please do.
Yeah, get them kids vaccinated.
I mean, but they need their choice. Wait until they're 12. Mike, wait until they're 12 or 12. Wait until they want to get the vaccine.
They might have HPV by then. They could have it by then, Ryan. You know everybody want to do everything too late. You know this.
All right, don't listen at the bad nurse.
You know everybody want
to get vaccinated. We want to keep them alive. We want them to get cervical cancer or throat cancer.
Next question. I guess I should be able to ask this since that's all they show on a commercial. Should gay people have to take the PrEP pill? Because those commercials seem to be aimed at them. That's all that's on the commercial. So it's not me making this up.
Right.
I'm just saying. Let me stop while I'm ahead.
Well, if you're going to make people get a vaccine, you're going to make kids get HPV, why not make people that are sexually active in a risky or exhibit risky behavior, why not make them have PrEP?
Yeah, make them
or
take PrEP.
Or anybody that's having unprotected sex. Straight people, too.
Everybody get PrEP.
PrEP is for anybody, yeah.
Everybody get PrEP. Everybody get the PrEP pill. Hey, and you got to take a plan B a day. This is where this is headed.
Before long, we're going to be mandated to do whatever the government wants us to do.
Right. That's
not going to be a choice anymore.
Right. Y'all check out those links I put in the description, man. I work hard on that because I want y'all to have the information. I want y'all to be able to see the information and grasp and feel the information yourselves. Before we get out of here, too, I want to shout out to Big Mitch, man. Big Mitch came the other night with the $25 cash out. Mike. Shout out to Big Mitch and Pops over there in Dothan, Alabama, man. We appreciate that. We're going to put that on some new equipment here soon. Ronnie, I appreciate you for joining the show.
All right, Mike.
All right. Have
good night,
a good night.
Guys.
All right, y'all. Ronnie in the building. Well, another show comes to an end. Don't forget to check out the new community section in the Big Mike Drop YouTube channel. I just hit 10,000 views or something of that nature, man. So they unlocked another feature for me. So I'll be able to share. I'll be able to post. I'll be able to put polls up. So y'all don't forget to check out the community section in the Big Mic Drop. Also, like, subscribe, share. Like, subscribe, share. Any order, hit the notification bell. We appreciate y'all for joining us this evening. I'm your host, Big Mike. This has been tonight's episode of the Big Mic Drop. Let me get rid of the question here. And we're out for the evening. Peace. Yo, what's up, family? It's your boy, Big Mike. I appreciate y'all for checking out my channel, man. If you like what we're doing and you want us to keep dropping this dope-ass, thought-provoking content, hit that like, share, and subscribe button. Also, hit the notification bell so you can be notified whenever we go live. Hey, I couldn't do this without y'all. I look forward to dropping more content for y'all. This your boy, Big Mike. I'm out.
Mike, drop.
Man, I like that one. What you think about it? Yep. You think about what you think helped it? Was it the manifest or what?
Huh?
Was it the manifest, the outline? Did that help?
I think whenever we talk about stuff like sports and stuff, current events, I think people like that.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about Kyrie.
Yeah. I'm gonna go check it out, man. I appreciate you for joining us tonight.
Of course.
And I'm gonna get working on the next one. Yeah, I'm going to start working early. All right, then, Ronnie.
Just let me know.
All right, appreciate you.
All right, thank you.
All right.